This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
You want to be more productive, but social media, email, text messages, and more can be distracting. We talked to a productivity expert for tips to help you overcome daily distractions.
The state of our attention determines the state of our lives. If we're distracted in each moment, these moments accumulate day by day, week by week, year by year, to create a life that is distracted.
Then, how much do you know about the rules for organ donation? You'll hear about one family's battle to save the life of their child that ended up changing federal regulations.
There's a huge discrepancy. If you were under 12, you were twice as likely to die waiting for organs as you were if you were 12 and older.
Those two stories and more are straight ahead. Stay with us. InfoTrack begins right after this.
Dell's Black Friday event is their biggest sale of the year. Shop limited-time deals on laptops like the stylish, innovative XPS 13, engineered to do it all on the Intel Evo platform. Plus, save big on ultra-sharp monitors and top-brand accessories. It's the perfect time to upgrade any home, business, or gaming setup powered by Intel Core processors. Shop now at Dell.com/deals to take advantage of huge savings and free shipping. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
Black Friday deals on Verizon.
Hurry in this Black Friday. Trade in any iPhone in any condition for the new iPhone 15 Pro with titanium and iPad and Apple Watch SE. All on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Go to your local Verizon store now. iPhone requires Unlimited Ultimate plan first. Service plan required for iPad and Apple Watch. $999.99 device payment or full retail purchase with new smartphone line required first. Less $1,000 trade-in slash promo credit. Up to $459.99 device payment purchase with new line on eligible plan required per Apple Watch or iPad. Less up to $459.99 promo credit per device applied. 0% APR. Additional terms and conditions apply.
This magical holiday moment is brought to you by KFC's 2 for $5 chicken wraps.
This time of year is so magical.
I know. KFC brought back their wraps, and they're even introducing a new mac and cheese chicken wrap in addition to the classic and spicy slaw.
I was talking about mac and cheese chicken wrap.
Yeah, and you can get 2 for only $5.
Wow, that is magical.
KFC wraps are back. Choose 2 for just $5, like the new mac and cheese chicken wrap.
It's finger-licking good.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer, tax extra.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week? No thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
We all want to be more productive, yet most of us get distracted by social media, email, text messages, and much more. Well, if you'd like to be more focused, a productivity expert is here to help. He's Chris Bailey, author of Hyperfocus, How to Be More Productive in a World of Distraction. Chris, before we get to your tips on being more productive, would you say that today's world has more ways to distract us than ever before?
I would. And the reason that's the case is, by default, we're wired to pay attention to anything that's one of three things. We're wired to pay attention to anything that we find pleasurable in the moment. We are wired to pay attention to anything we find threatening. And we're wired to pay attention to anything we find novel in the moment. And so our brain even has a mechanism by which it rewards us with a hit of dopamine, the pleasure chemical, whenever we focus on something that's new and novel. So if you look at those characteristics, pleasurable, threatening, novel, and you compare those with the devices around us, smartphones, these newfangled, everything of that nature, chances are most of them are all three things. And so this is, I think, the challenge of managing our attention when we're in this world of distraction, is that in the moment, these things we see as distractions will always be more attractive to focus on. So Facebook will always be more attractive in the moment than a Word document that we're working on. An Excel sheet will always be less attractive than our smartphone that's attached at our hip. And so we need to get ahead of the impulse, but at the same time, it's not really our fault, because this is a way that our brain is wired.
You have some amazing facts and statistics in your book. One is that we work for just 40 seconds before we're either interrupted or distracted when we're in front of a computer. What can we do to not have that happen?
This is the thing, especially when we're not on a deadline, we will be tempted by distractions. And I think getting a distractions blocker, Freedom is a great example of a program that allows you to tame these distractions ahead of time. The idea is that when you go to one of these websites, it blocks you from checking Twitter or checking the news or checking whatever problem website you happen to have. And because of that, you notice that you're distracted. So often we're distracted without noticing that our attention is gravitated to that thing, so we can get back on track that way.
We're talking with Chris Bailey, author of Hyperfocus: How to Be More Productive in a World of Distraction. Some of the things you recommend are pretty basic, and yet a lot of people ignore them or think they're superhuman, as you mentioned. One is getting enough sleep, and another, which I love, is using caffeine. Talk about that.
Well, I'm a big fan of both, sleep and caffeine. Hopefully not. Actually, when you put them together and take a coffee nap where you have a cup of coffee, you nap for about 20 minutes and then you wake up 15, 20 minutes so you don't get deep into a sleep cycle, you will wake up with so much energy after that point. But when we get a proper amount of sleep, the amount of attention we have to give to whatever's in front of us increases by around 58%. And the thing about working on a sleep deficit is when we're on a sleep deficit, we rank our productivity as being higher than it actually is. So we think we're so productive because we're doing stuff, we're busy. But the research shows that the picture is more nuanced than that, because we do our work, but we take on work that is significantly less challenging and less productive. It's less important. It's more novel, pleasurable, threatening than what's truly important on our plate. And so we're busy, but while accomplishing less than we used to. And so it's so vital to get out ahead of that. Caffeine boosts our mental and physical performance by almost every single measure imaginable, up to a certain point, up to about 150 milligrams. And we each react differently to consuming caffeine, but we can use that energy boost wisely by summoning it whenever we need that extra jolt. It's about being deliberate about how we manage our attention. We very rarely choose what we focus on before we focus on something. And so when we bring that deliberateness to how we manage our attention, because it's such a vital ingredient in our lives, we can become more productive, but also experience more meaning in our life because we're able to notice that meaning in the first place.
One of the things that seems difficult to do in today's world, but is so important for relationships, is learning to listen to what other people are saying. Do you have any advice on?
No, I'm just kidding.
Do you have any advice on how to listen better? Because it seems like a lost art in many cases.
It really is, yeah. And so often we flip our phone down on the table when we're talking to somebody. But studies show that when our phone is flipped down on the table, we still check it every 3 to 5 minutes, which kind of interrupts the flow of attention. I have this idea that love is really no different from sharing quality attention with someone. But the phone on the table interferes with almost every measure of our attention. When it's on the table and we're chatting with somebody, we have been shown to feel less close to the person we're with. We have been shown to feel less connected with the person that we're with. And we even rank, it's kind of sad, our relationship quality as being less than it actually is. And so we think our relationship is suffering, but really our attention is suffering. The state of our attention determines the state of our lives. If we're distracted in each moment, these moments accumulate day by day, week by week, year by year, to create a life that is distracted. But if we pay attention to what's meaningful, like a conversation, if we listen to somebody's words until we hear the period at the end of their sentences. It's such a lost art, but wait for that pause. Wait for them to finish saying what they have. Because if you do, this is a way by which we can set an intention for what we want to accomplish. Attention without intention is essentially wasted energy, in my opinion. But we choose something meaningful, we focus on it, and then those moments accumulate to create a more meaningful life. Meaning is all around us. It's everywhere, but we just don't notice that it's there in the first place because our attention is on our phones. And so it's such a vital idea.
Chris, millions of people, it seems, work in what are called open offices. Yet your studies of this show that it's really not very productive to work in an open office.
Yeah. The research that I've encountered and chatted with experts about beyond myself, it shows that we experience more external distractions and interruptions in an open office environment, and we distract ourselves above 50% more than we would when we're able to focus on something with this level of intention and often intensity. But here's the thing about open offices. When we do work that is collaborative, interruption is a necessary cost of doing collaborative work. But we often do focused work as well. And so when we're doing a project that requires this hyper collaboration, you know, if NASA was launching a satellite and everybody had noise canceling headphones on and weren't talking to one another, chances are the satellite wouldn't launch that well, if at all, because that process of continuous interruption is how collaboration happens. But we have more focused work now than we've had in quite some time. And so if you're in an open office, make sure you have an alternative environment, if this is at all possible. When an important task comes along where you need to focus on it, maybe you have a room at home. Maybe there's a favorite coffee shop that you love going to. Because if you ask people where they're the most productive, very few people say the office. People say it's when the kids have gone to bed. It's first thing in the morning when I'm sipping my coffee. And so take advantage of those times. Productivity is so often a process of understanding our constraints. And so by working around those constraints, you can dive that much deeper into your work.
Chris Bailey, author of Hyper Focus, How to Be More Productive in a World of Distraction. And we can certainly use that information, can't we? Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Next, a mom's battle against the healthcare system. That story coming up.
Don't go away. InfoTrack will be back right after this.
Amazon's got the best deals on Black Friday. Oh, the best deals are on Cyber Monday. Friday comes first when it comes to saving. Monday's worth the wait for what you've been craving. Deals so good, it'll feel like stealing. Real cool message, could you make it less appealing? What's with the beef? You can get that too. Why'd you call us? What's triggering you? Whichever day you're shopping on, you'll save a bunch at Amazon. On Black Friday, Cyber Monday too.
Black Friday deals on Verizon.
Hurry in this Black Friday. Trade in any iPhone in any condition for the new iPhone 15 Pro with titanium and iPad and Apple Watch SE. All on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Act now. Visit Verizon.com. iPhone requires Unlimited Ultimate plan first. Service plan required for iPad and Apple Watch. $999.99 device payment or full retail purchase with new smartphone line required first. Less $1,000 trade-in slash promo credit. Up to $459.99 device payment purchase with new line on eligible plan required per Apple Watch or iPad. Less up to $459.99 promo credit per device applied. 0% APR. Additional terms and conditions apply.
This magical holiday moment is brought to you by KFC's 2 for $5 chicken wraps.
This time of year is so magical.
I know. KFC brought back their wraps, and they're even introducing a new mac and cheese chicken wrap in addition to the classic and spicy slaw.
I was talking about mac and cheese chicken wrap.
Yeah, and you can get 2 for only $5.
Wow, that is magical.
KFC wraps are back. Choose 2 for just $5, like the new mac and cheese chicken wrap.
It's finger-licking good.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer, tax extra.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
What do you do when healthcare regulations mean your child won't get the care they desperately need? InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco has the story of one mom's battle that changed federal regulations. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. There is no cure for cystic fibrosis. It can lead to severe lung disease and death. These were the devastating facts for Janet Murnahan's daughter, Sarah, who desperately needed a lung transplant to live. Sarah was only 10 years old, but rules governing transplants said a child had to be at least 12 to receive adult lungs. Janet shares how she fought this in a new book, saving Sarah, one mother's battle against the healthcare system to save her daughter's life. And she joins us now. Janet, let us start out with the time your daughter was days from death. Did you learn at that time that she was not eligible to receive adult lungs?
Yes. It was really at the very end when she was transferred to intensive care, and we were told at the same time that she was weeks away. That's when I understood one of the major holdups was that she really couldn't access lungs from any donor 12 years and older because she was 10 and 3/4.
And to be clear, in your daughter's case, adult lungs could be made to fit her body. So this was not a logistics issue, was it?
No, her doctors, the surgeons, were very capable of resizing the lungs. They resized lungs on a regular basis for patients who were 13 and had access to larger lungs. But because of Sarah's age, they didn't have access to the lungs. They could have successfully done it, and they did successfully do it.
So this was arbitrary?
That's what we argued in court, and we were granted a restraining order against the federal government, you know, agreeing that our argument had a great basis. And then ultimately, they changed the ruling because of Sarah.
And so that's what you asked for specifically, that the rules be changed in your particular case?
We asked for the rules to be changed in our particular case, and we asked that it be changed for other kids. Our argument was that a child's doctor should be determining what the best organ for a child is, not an arbitrary ruling based on their age.
And I understand this was really a full-scale war, part of it, on multiple fronts. And I'm sure the parents out there listening, caught up in red tape, will be taking notes. First of all, give us a brief rundown of how you used social media. What was your ask?
Well, initially, we really wanted to just apply pressure because UNOS, the board governing lung allocation, could have made an exception. They make exceptions for other things when someone's lung allocation score doesn't match. And so initially, we went out there and told people our story to create sort of a pressure for them to listen to us because we had already gone through the medical channels of appealing the decision and it hadn't worked. So we wanted people to know and to get sort of public opinion behind us. That was our very first step. And we used, you know, social media. I had previously worked in television and public relations, and I had a lot of friends who jumped in and helped us, which was critical.
And were your asks on social media for people to write letters and to whom?
Yeah, we created a change.org petition, and we asked people to sign the petition, and the petition went to John Roberts, who was at the time the president of UNOS, the board governing lung allocation, and we, you know, appealed to Kathleen Sebelius as well, who was the Health and Human Services Secretary at the time, and she oversaw UNOS as her position and had the ultimate authority to suggest that they look at this ruling.
And did you have to ask for money as well?
No, we had health insurance. We didn't need money. We had all the doctors. We really just needed for them to say that her age was not going to be a barrier. There was a huge discrepancy. If you were under 12, you were twice as likely to die waiting for organs as you were if you were 12 and older. It's UNOS's own statistics, which is what we learned in those final days. And it's because there just aren't as many, it makes sense, pediatric donors. And so without as many pediatric donors, your chances of dying are much greater if you only have access to pediatric donors. And I think that when the rule was originally put in place, it wasn't put in place to harm children. It was actually initially to protect them and to try and make it so those organs went to children because there were so few of them. But as science advanced and they were able to resize organs, it had the opposite effect. But the red tape of government hadn't caught up with that. And so everything was just slow to change. And they had even had articles and studies where they realized there was a discrepancy.
Janet, how did you hold it together when you're so emotionally vulnerable at the very time you needed to be razor sharp to fight for your daughter?
It was really awful. I really tried very hard to just focus on what was right in front of me at any given time. If what was in front of me at the moment was a medical decision for Sarah, then that's what I focused on. And if what was in front of me was being out in front of a camera to argue her position or preparing for a legal battle, I just took everything 1 minute at a time, 1 day at a time. And I surrounded myself with family and friends and people who worked really hard to support us.
We're visiting with Janet Murnahan, author of Saving Sarah, One Mother's Battle Against the Healthcare System to Save Her Daughter's Life. Now, finally, your daughter did get a set of lungs. Did they do the trick?
Actually, her very first transplant had what's called graft failure, where coming out of the surgery, the lungs immediately failed, like in the first hour after surgery. graft failure is typically, and later on pathology confirmed, something had happened prior to the removal of the organ that wasn't detected in initial screening. So she had graft failure initially and was immediately put on bypass, heart-lung bypass, very shortly after surgery. Then she waited, and 3 days later, she got transplanted again.
And that second set of lungs are in place and doing well then? And how is she doing now?
She's doing great now. She was almost 11 at the time. She's just turned 16. She's a high school student. She's active, typical kid who, you know, really does everything any of her peers do. She's done fabulous.
Now, any of us listening to this may have to fight medical rules someday ourselves. So what is the single best piece of advice you can give?
I think for us, the thing that really propelled me forward was hope. I know that seems sort of like a simple thing, but there were many times in the process where I had felt very hopeless. And when you have a family member dying and you feel very hopeless, it is very paralyzing and very hard to push forward. And in those moments where I felt, you know, even just a little bit of hope, I was able to push forward. And so I think that that is one of the biggest things.
Who are your biggest allies other than family and friends?
Her doctors were wonderfully supportive and fought every step of the way for her. The doctors at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the nurses, they just never gave up on her. They never gave up on us. They always had an idea. They always had a path forward, even when things seemed like there really wasn't a path forward.
Finally, I noticed that in Britain, a mother donated a kidney to her infant son. Do you know or do you have a sense that other countries' rules may be more flexible on children receiving adult organs?
I don't know what other countries' rules are on receiving adult organs, but I would say that we looked at live donor transplant for lungs, and that's not something that was done in the U.S. That's not something we could find any hospital willing to let us do, because that is something that we looked into. It's certainly been done before, but not currently being done by anybody at the time when we looked into it. I know kidneys are more flexible from a live donor standpoint. There have been a lot of changes since everything happened with Sarah that I think our situation propelled forward. So in addition to allowing kids now in her age group have the opportunity to list for lungs 12 and over, the other thing they've done since our situation and since we brought it to light is they've expanded the region that pediatric lungs can travel. So pediatric lungs can now travel much further than they were before, so 1,000 miles. So that means more kids have more access to any pediatric organ that comes available before it would then go to an adult. Before it was about 500 miles, and then if nobody used that organ would go to the next adult on the list. So now the lungs travel a much bigger span.
And that sounds like great news for everybody involved. Janet Murnahan, we appreciate your time. Good luck to you and your daughter, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Black Friday deals on Verizon.
Hurry in this Black Friday. Trade in any iPhone in any condition for the new iPhone 15 Pro with titanium and iPad and Apple Watch SE. All on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Go to your local Verizon store now. iPhone requires Unlimited Ultimate plan first. Service plan required for iPad and Apple Watch. $999.99 device payment or full retail purchase with new smartphone line required first. Less $1,000 trade-in slash promo credit. Up to $459.99 device payment purchase with new line on eligible plan required per Apple Watch or iPad. Less up to $459.99 promo credit per device applied. 0% APR. Additional terms and conditions apply.
This magical holiday moment is brought to you by KFC's 2 for $5 chicken wraps.
This time of year is so magical.
I know. KFC brought back their wraps, and they're even introducing a new mac and cheese chicken wrap in addition to the classic and spicy slaw.
I was talking about mac and cheese chicken wrap.
Yeah, and you can get 2 for only $5.
Wow, that is magical.
KFC wraps are back. Choose 2 for just $5, like the new mac and cheese chicken wrap.
It's finger-licking good.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer, tax extra.
Being a parent can be a challenging role. How can parents enjoy greater happiness amidst the day-to-day issues of raising a family? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey talks to an expert. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Our guest is KJ Delantonia. She's a mom of 4 and now the author of How to Be a Happier Parent. You know, when people are expecting their first child, they really have no idea what they're diving into in terms of responsibility and commitment. So It's understandable that sometimes it's not a fun job, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of work involved here, and we don't need to kid ourselves, although it's probably a good thing we don't know it when we get into it, right? Or we'd have died out as a species many years ago.
That's true. Now, you're right about some of the fundamental rules that lead to happiness for parents. Maybe you could give us just some of the top rules that you can think of.
Well, it's more that there are things that happier parents do, ways that happier parents think. So people who describe themselves as happier parents, they don't put their kids' everyday needs above their own. They consider themselves to be an important part of this equation. When it comes to their kids, people who describe themselves as happier, typically they're pretty involved with kids on a day-to-day level, you know, helping them, getting things done when the kids are little. But when the kids are older, they're doing things that encourage their kids to behave independently. So their relationships with their kids are evolving. And another thing that parents that describe themselves as happier do is they have a really great adult perspective on everything. And this is a lovely change if you're not doing it. So much of the things that we worry about with our kids, the things that we consider to be a threat, like not making the soccer team or not getting into the class with your best friend when you're in first grade because that's so hard, or even losing the girlfriend or not getting into the college. Really? They're not really threats. They're just things that happen, and there'll be another college and another girlfriend and then another classroom. And parents that can keep that adult perspective, they're happier themselves, and also they're making things easier for their kids because their kids are able to sort of have more of a perspective too.
One of the struggles that probably goes on in most households, kids and chores. What is your advice there?
Kids should do chores. There, I'm done. That's the whole thing. But they really should, and a lot of kids don't. More of us did chores as kids than have our kids do chores. And some of that is that we often think that sports or homework are more important than chores. They're really not. And some of it is just that it's painful. Who are we kidding? It is easier to do it yourself. It absolutely 100% is easier to take out the trash yourself than to get your 12-year-old to do it.
Yep.
It just is. But getting your kid to do it is important for both of you. For you, it gives you this feeling that you're raising a clan of partners, that you're all in this together. Nobody is happy if they feel like they're doing all the work. For the kids, feeling like a needed and necessary part of a household actually gives them a little bit of emotional armor against the stresses of other parts of their lives. It's really good for them to feel important. And I mean, there's some little research out there that shows that kids who do chores young do better in later life, but we don't really need research on this, right? We know the college roommate who doesn't leave their dishes in the sink and expect someone else to clean them is better than the other kind. It just is.
I have to say the biggest concern around our house is the absolute dominance of electronic devices, namely phones.
That's a constant challenge for all of us, right? This is a national conversation. There are entire magazines and podcasts dedicated to how we all interact with our screens. So when it comes to younger kids, what I tell parents is really you should be in charge and you should feel in charge and your kids should know that you're in charge. So if you're at a stage where it feels like your whole life is consists entirely of kids whining for you to hand them your phone or let them watch more TV, it's time to establish a rule that everybody can understand. So that there's no whining and this doesn't become something that you're like withholding or giving. It's just a thing that you can use on the weekends or use for an hour or day. And a great addition to that rule for little kids is, and if you whine when your time is up, you get none tomorrow. You only have to enforce that a couple times. Now with older kids, with teenagers, we are not trying to raise kids who can follow our rules around screen time. We're trying to raise kids who are gonna moderate their own screen time. Because they're going to be out before we know it. And I do not want to send my son to college unable to moderate his own Fortnite time, or he's going to be back in my basement within 3 weeks. It's like a conversation that we should be having where we're helping them figure out the importance of moderation and learn to do it. You want them to do that on your watch.
KJ Delantonio, the author of How to Be a Happier Parent, thank you very much for joining us today on InfoTrack.
Oh, thank you for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that's it for this week's show. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. We hope you'll join us right here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Nothing but the hits. the Valley's fun music. 105.7 CFW.
CFW.
And I give up forever to touch you, 'cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home. All I could taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't want to miss you tonight. And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't. I just want you to know who I am. moment of truth in your lies. When everything feels like the movies, yeah, you bleed just to know you're alive.
This is 105.7 CFW.
Love.
As much a part of the Valley as Trinity Equestrian Center and the Children's Center, this is 105.7 CFW, the Valley's farm music.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
This is 105.7 CFW.
Flowing.
Chippewa Valley weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Snow today, additional accumulation under an inch. See high temperatures in the lower 30s, breezy winds as they'll turn to the northwest in the afternoon. Overnight, mostly cloudy skies, blustery with lows dropping to the middle teens. It's 24 at our studios.
CFW.
CFW. We'll be right back.
1057 CFW, the Valley's Fun Music, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Identify yourself.
WCFW-FM and WCFW-HD1, Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the entire Chippewa Valley.
A Civic Media radio station.
FM has always stood for fine music. And now, FM stands for fun music, too. This is the Valley's Fun Music, 105.7.
CFW.
Chippewa Valley.
Step inside.
Whoa.